Dave, are you familiar with the best line in the movie Blues Brothers? It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. You're supposed to say, hit it.
I've never seen Blues Brothers.
Shut the fuck! Hey, what's up, nerds? Welcome to the latest episode of Nerds with Attitude Podcast, Memory Lane Edition. I am Kevin, and I'm joined by...
Hey, it's Scott.
Hey, Dave's back here, too.
And we're on the road to a little toy meeting, and we thought we would throw the mics on and talk to you nerds about nothing in general. So apparently we're going to start with Deliverance chat. Hey, guys, I'm going to switch gears a little bit with this particular episode. As of recording this today, the Mueller report has been delivered to the DA, so... get ready. We're going to do about 3 deep hours of political introspection on
this
the Mueller report
fun.
And what could be inside. And I'm just kidding.
Thank
what's
God.
Inside? Was what's his? Was Walken? Was he in Deliverance?
Christopher Walken. I believe he was.
Walken. Was he in Deliverance?
Well,
Scott.
I think there's more cowbell in the Mueller report.
In the banjo.
You see this watch? I carried it in my asshole.
In my ass.
That's such a great scene. When was the last time you guys watched Pulp Fiction?
Oh, it's been a while.
It was on VHS. It was newly released on VHS the last time I saw Pulp Fiction.
When I graduated high school, I did a road trip and I filmed the whole thing. And when I got home, I had access at that time to like an old school like VHS deck to deck editing rig.
Nice.
So on VHS, I edited together my road trip movie from like my 2 weeks going to like New York. And at one point, we're at the beach and I pan over and there's this huge pot-bellied dude just standing in the surf. And I cut in a scene from Pulp Fiction where she goes, "I love pot-belly."
when you were editing that together, did you ever think to put that movie together in chronological order?
Or Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
No,
I've always wanted to watch it like that, but then I was like, it's probably going to ruin the movie if I did.
Isn't it one of those things where it was probably filmed in chronological order and realized it like kind of was shitty, and so you chop it up to make it a little more interesting? That's what Memento did.
I really doubt it.
Oh God, yeah. Memento was filmed in order, and it was like unwatchably boring, as just sort of this like murder mystery thing.
Okay.
And I want to say it was the editor, the director's just like, see what you can do, and the editor had the idea like, fuck it, let's just chop it up and play it backwards, and it was such a unique take on a way to tell the story, where you know each scene ends where the next scene begins.
That's crazy. Was
a cool little thing, and it really makes the movie stand out. And I believe on the one of the special editions of it, they have the in order version of it on the disc that you can watch. And it's just a totally bland, boring whodunit, you know, thriller movie that doesn't really stand out as anything special at all.
Yeah, I'm not That's even cool. sure I've seen that movie.
Memento's anyway. Great,
is it?
Yeah, I've seen it once, but again, it was like whenever it first came out on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a very long time.
I like it.
So, apologies for my voice, but I am still recovering from the plague.
I mean, we could play this episode. You know, these Memory Lane episodes don't always come out when we record them because they tend to drop when we need filler. A little pull back the curtain there for those of you listening.
It's kind of like the Pulp Fiction of Nerds with Attitude.
Mm-hmm. It's just played out of order. So that's why we don't really talk about anything topical, other than the Mueller report.
Yes.
So you guys. You guys.
Yeah.
Well, let's do one thing real quick. I know Scott needs to get maybe a few things off of his chest. I know he wasn't there for our podcast last time, but...
That's correct.
We recorded the podcast, and then we started getting messages, Scott, trying to correct us and trying to yell at us.
Oh, let's do a corrections department.
Is there anything that you remember from the podcast that you kind of shook your head that we were talking about?
Not at all. I mean, there was some things.
Good lead up, Dave. Good lead up. Good.
Why weren't you prepared?
I need some preparation, man.
Well, I was just going to finish my thought a little bit before. Was going to say Scott has the plague. And so this episode could drop, you know, like 6 months from now. And Scott has the plague.
Yeah, this son of a bitch held on for dear life. So,
yeah.
But no, I remember there was a few things in the podcast that I was like, no. Buckley, stop talking. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But
were we talking about Orville?
I think we got on Orville with Scott.
Yeah. Yeah, we started Orville with
He said something about Star Trek, one of the Star Trek
shows. We were talking about Voyager and Deep Space Nine.
One of them was crap, and you're like, no.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Somebody said that Deep Space Nine was awful, and I'm like, no, because you're stupid.
It's the space truck stop.
It is the space truck stop, but it's deep, man. It's really deep. It's and so really what deep. If it gets into Bajoran
Deep Space
religion?
Nine.
Exactly, exactly.
Ooh, speaking of deep.
Yeah.
oh, really? Dave is behind me right now.
Love, hey, Death, there. And Robots?
Oh, okay. Man. Hey, okay. Save that. We'll do that on a regular
Let's
podcast.
Let's just give a quick synopsis over it, but it's really, really good.
Yeah. Go ahead. You brought it up.
18 episodes, short episodes, animated shorts, some live action in it.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
On Netflix,
Topher Grace in the
live
action.
Yeah, that was really cool. But
it was.
They go pretty deep. I mean, pretty deep. And they dig in you know, and everything.
It's like the Twilight Zone.
And Black Mirror. Yeah. And
that's what I said. It's sort of like an animated
Heavy
Black
Metal.
Mirror.
Yeah.
I don't remember Heavy Metal.
Julie woke up when one of them was on, and she looked at me, and she's like, what the hell are you watching? And I said,
snuff.
It's the robot. Film. Yeah, it's animated snuff films, basically.
Not all of them.
No, but what was that episode where the naked chick was just running through the streets?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm like,
I'm pretty sure
I'm
that was, you know what rotoscoping is?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that episode was rotoscoped. It really had that look.
It and felt to me, the animation style on it felt to me like the Spider-Man movie, the Spider-Verse.
Spider-Verse, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was very Spider-Verse-y. So was the one with the giant mech robots versus the aliens and stuff.
Yeah, but that was very cool.
That was cool.
That was probably my favorite episode.
Here we were just going to touch on it, and we're going episode by episode.
Yeah,
so we will. We'll go
more in deep in a regular episode. But, yeah, if you haven't watched Love, Death, and Robots, and they're great. They're all about 15 minutes, some a little shorter. But, you can watch them in any order. Binge watch them all in one row, and, you know, whatever you want. They're great.
Yeah, they are fantastic.
And they are 100% not for children.
No.
100%.
Episode 2, though, was still my favorite.
The three robots. Yeah.
Oh, that was great.
I love that episode.
What's this, a basketball? What do you do with a basketball?
You bounce it.
For pleasure.
Yeah, it's robots taking a tour of a post-apocalyptic Earth.
Yeah, cat Earth.
Yeah.
Oh, you give away the ending.
They'll still see it.
Yeah. What have you guys been doing for toys lately?
I got a barge.
What?
Recent
I got a
pickups?
Barge. Yeah, a giant sail barge was delivered on my doorstep.
What line is that from?
It is from Star Wars, the
Never
Vintage Collection.
What movie is that from?
Return of the Jedi.
Oh.
Jabba's sail barge.
Nice. Was that like an indie or?
Yeah.
Was that Focus Features? Who put that out?
That would be... I don't even have... I got nothing.
That was the smallest like film... production company I could think of.
Yeah.
That does like artsy crap.
It was back in the days of Orion Pictures, and
I can still picture their logo with like the O coming out all like in space, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's like the constellation Orion turns into the O and it's Orion. Yeah.
It all makes sense now.
Yes. So no, this okay, now fanboys are the worst. We've already talked about this before, right?
Yes.
So A year and like a month ago.
They are our key demographic listener.
Yeah,
and
I know.
We hate them.
You're the worst.
Fanboys the movie.
You're the worst. So, like 14 months ago or 13 months ago, Hasbro decided to do this HasLab thing where they had to get 5,000 people to sign up to get this barge. So I jumped in because it's always been a toy that I've wanted. It's $500 shipped, okay? It was very pricey, but I had a great tax return, so I decided to go ahead and, you know, my wife decided to let me go ahead and get it.
Right?
That is sort of the unspoken caveat of like, yeah, I decided I'm going to go get it. At this age, for us married folk, it's, yeah, the wife
yeah, the
kind
wife,
of signed off on
the
it.
The wife said go for it. So, 13 months later, the thing starts arriving on doorsteps. And now we've got people who
Was it really a year?
Yeah.
That went by really fast.
Well, if you remember, we were actually recording an episode whenever they announced it at Toy Fair. And so we actually broke the news on Nerds with Attitude that it was happening.
I don't listen to our show, so I didn't.
Oh, okay. So, 13 months later, it shows up, and people are starting to refuse delivery because the outer carton on it is dented.
The shipping box.
The shipping container, yeah, is slightly damaged, or it's got a fold in it or a crease in it, and they will refuse shipment. So
sounds like G.I. Joe fans to me, too.
It sounds like every fan. Yeah.
So what do those do? Go back to Hasbro?
And Hasbro has been like, okay, we'll send you another one.
That's so stupid.
It really is, because a lot of them... Okay, now, if you were a mint in-box collector, I kind of understand. You know, if you're getting one to be mint in-box, okay,
but you
fine.
Know what? Check it first, because the inside box is probably not damaged.
Well, here's the thing. The inside box with all the artwork on it, mm-hmm. right? That's the mint in box thing.
Yes.
That is inside of another box.
The shipping box.
No. That's inside of a box that's taped up.
Oh, jeez.
So it's like a three-layer...
It is a three-layer.
Three-layer dip.
Now, there's a couple of them that they were sending pictures out that had actually been, like, skewered, like, full-on skewered by a forklift.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, like a forklift had gone through. But they... those I understand. Some that have been... that look like they've been thrown out of an airplane. I get it, okay? Sure. The toy on the inside might be damaged. But here are people that are planning on opening the box, putting the toy on display, who are refusing a box that has a crease in it, or has a bump in it, or... yeah. Or
I wonder if they're aware of the multi-tier boxing.
Everybody's aware.
Are they?
Hasbro made sure that everybody knew ahead of time, whenever it was on its way, this thing is coming in an inner box and an outer box.
Ah, because I remember Hasbro putting up the videos of how they packaged the interior... which in itself is an art form.
Oh yeah.
Of the little compartments within the foam and how things are all protected and kind of jigsawed together. Like, it's such a impressive use of space.
Yeah, and there's a specific way you open it up to put it all together, and it was just a lot of fun. And the whole construction, once I pulled it out and unwrapped it and all that, it took about half an hour to build it.
Nice.
And those sails are cloth. And
how long did you take it all in before you started putting it together?
I photographed everything. Yeah. So I took a lot of time with
nice.
It.
Nice.
He's now, still putting it together now.
Now, is this the only toy made of the sail barge?
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
What did they have before for Jabba? They had just the skiffs?
Yeah, the skiffs. They made a little mini skiff thing that kind of had one of the red sails on mm-hmm. it.
That's what I was going to say. Then it's skiffs in different sizes and styles.
But this is the first time they've done an actual full-on Jabba sail barge.
Right,
I mean, this thing has got secret compartments in it. It's got a prison cell with the skeleton of a hammerhead figure in there.
Oh, nice.
And
for the photos, did you put those up on our YouTube page or just on the podcast page?
Just on the podcast page.
So on our Facebook podcast page, Nerds Attitude Podcast on Facebook, you can see all the videos Scott did of all the unboxing. And the detail inside is that's where all your money went, is that tooling and the painting and just everything is so detailed. Whereas, you know, if that thing were mass-produced for stores, they'd be smooth interiors of solid brown.
Yeah.
And, use your imagination, kids, or here's a sticker.
Exactly. And not only that, but with a four-foot-long container, you're not going to find it on a store shelf.
Right.
Stores don't have that much real estate. So...
hell, currently in, Walmart and Target, Star Wars is down to, two pegs wide. There's so little product for Star Wars right now. Like, everything, they've really let it kind of dwindle and get cleared out. So I think waiting for episode 9, they'll probably re-hit it hard with Force Friday again and put out, 8 feet of, space. And
Force Friday is going to happen in October this year. And it's called Triple Force Friday because it is celebrating the release of episode 9, The Mandalorian, and The Return of the Clone Wars. So you're going to have three different toy lines coming out all at once in October for Triple Force Friday.
That's probably why retailers have nothing, and they're just letting it just get rid of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry to be topical.
No, it makes sense. So, the barge, if you missed out on it, sorry. It doesn't look like they're going to be releasing it anytime soon for people to buy it other than internationally. Hasbro did set aside... I think 500 of them or something like that to ship out overseas.
That's still a lot. Holy moly.
Yeah. Well,
they'll sell them all.
They ended up making 8,800 of them or something like that. That's how many people signed up for them.
Wow.
Yeah.
They blew their 5,000 target out of the water.
Oh, yeah. So
have you compared them to any of the other big toys in Star Wars, like the Millennium Falcon and the AT-AT?
It's sitting right next to the Falcon and the AT-AT.
How does it compare to them, like size-wise? And
it's far. It's not as tall as the AT-AT, but it's taller than the Falcon. It's longer than any of them. Yeah.
Well, the big Falcon is about 36 inches round.
Right.
So that's huge all by itself.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just not as tall of a vehicle.
No, not at all.
Can you stand figures up in there and then close the hatches? Or
yeah.
Is it that tall?
Inside the Falcon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big Falcon?
Yeah, I've got little mini scenes going on inside the Falcon you can never see unless you open it up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you put it next to the flag?
I have. It's across the room from the flag. Dave, you've never seen my
toy
room.
I've never seen your toy
room. Yeah, you need to come up and see the toy room. So... It's
Scott's got it like a Disney right now, where you can get like the SoCal pass. it's just like, I think it's like what, $65 right now with your Southern California ID.
Exactly.
To go to Scott's Toy Room.
I should do that.
Speaking of, who's going to opening on the Star Wars Land?
There's no way.
I mean, you know how crowded that's going to be?
It's going to be insane. And they're doing a freaking reservations. You've got to get reservations. They haven't exactly announced how that's going to happen yet. Unless you have a room booked in the Disneyland Hotel or California Adventure. If you're booked in either of those hotels the day of its opening, then you automatically get entered into the reservations.
Nice.
But for just Joe Schmo on the street, I'm still waiting to find out how to get in there. So I can't wait, but I'm going to have to.
The only thing that excites me is if they're doing reservations, that means they might be keeping the attendance within Star Wars Land a little bit lower.
And able to walk around.
So that you can actually walk around and enjoy it and get on, you know, the different attractions. To me, is enticing. I'll make a reservation. I'll make a reservation for a year and a half from now.
Sure. Yeah.
If I can get in there and actually, like, spend time
and
not
enjoy yourself.
Shoulder to shoulder and enjoy myself. And I've been saying that about Disney for years. Yeah. Like, I'll book my tickets in advance. I'll plan it. Like, I'm going to Ireland at the end of the year, and we've been planning that trip for over a year. I'll do Disney the same way. I will save my money and pick a date and plan and you know, and just so that I can go and have it not be a fucking cattle herd of people. Like when you're trying to leave a concert.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't want that at
Disneyland.
Those days
of leaving Irvine Meadows after a show.
All you do is you're body to body, like chest to back, and you're just like... That was one of my favorite things.
Yeah, same here.
See how many people you can start mooing?
Yeah. Well, current rumor has it that it's possible not both attractions in Star Wars Land will be open on opening day. They're saying it's possible that only the Millennium Falcon ride will be open.
What's the other ride?
Rise of the Resistance.
It's Jar Jar's Silly Cars.
that'd be funny. Rise of the Resistance, which, if you read the description of the ride, sounds amazing, where you walk up and you're surrounded by First Order officers, and they load you onto a truck that takes you into another part of the ride, and then you get off of that, and you're in the big hangar with TIE fighters all over the place, and then you get on another ride, and it takes you through the actual ride, and it sounds very immersive.
Yeah.
And my understanding is once you walk into Star Wars Land, they have blocked all other views around you, so you cannot see outside of Star Wars Land.
That's cool.
So it's fully immersive, and you are there. You live it.
Nice. Yeah. I wonder if we're going to get people like having the Avatar reaction. Where like, do you remember after Avatar came out and people were like getting depressed and suicidal because that 3D immersion of that Avatar world? They're like, I just want to live there, and I want that's where I want
to
be.
I wanted those people to live there and go away.
But do you think you might get that from people too? Like, you're 100% immersed in a Star Wars real life land.
Well, Scott will be.
I'll be like, no, I want to go back.
I want to go.
Hey, what are some other? So I mentioned Jar Jar's Car-Cars ride.
The car.
I thought that'd be a better name for it. The Jar Jar Car-Car.
Jar Jar Car-Car.
We'll come back to that. Let's think of something.
I was going to say, what other Star Wars themed attractions would you like? Like Yoda's Yogurt Stand.
Jabba's Jump House?
Wow. Ewoks with their, you could buy like a turkey leg and an Ewok, but it looks like a human foot.
The Ewok barbecue.
Ewok barbecue, there right? we go. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but they just had like a stormtrooper like... on a spit. What, yes. Is that what they were cooking at the end of the movie? Weren't they like eating? That's... They were cooking something, right?
Yes, they were.
I mean, they had the helmets on little steaks.
They were
going to
eat Han Solo, and... okay? So
yeah,
those little fuckers
are dangerous, man.
But could you imagine if you got a turkey leg and it comes with a little stormtrooper shoe on the end of it?
That'd be sweet.
That would be awesome.
Well, the other thing would be you'd just be like the Ewok barbecue and they give you just a regular sized chicken drumstick as like, here's your Ewok leg.
Oh,
that'd be great.
Okay, so Ewok barbecue, Yoda's yogurts, car cars.
Yeah, Jar Jar's car cars.
Jar Jar's car cars.
Any other Star Wars something. Rides? All right, just let it marinate in the back of your brain and just yell it out throughout the episode as you think of something. For those of you listening.
Jabba's Jump House.
There you go.
You just kind of slither around in it.
Well, it's like
it's
when
slimy.
Leia was on
it's
his
slimy.
Belly. Right?
Yeah, there you go.
So the jump house is Jabba.
You
just
jump
on
Jabba
on him,
and bounce
right?
off of him. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
The Wookiee arm puller, no?
The Rancor ball pit?
Rancor ball pit.
Right? Because it's the Rancor pit?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Rancor ball pit.
The Wampa ice cave?
Wampa ice cave, that'd
be nice. Ice skating, right? They can do like the Wampa ice show or something.
Yeah. You just got to avoid the hand that comes swinging at you every now and then.
The interactive Tauntaun belly tunnel.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
Smells in there.
It's very lukewarm, though. Very lukewarm. Sorry.
Sorry, it sent me into an actual laughing fit.
I broke Kevin.
Stupid pun. What's the temperature inside a Tauntaun?
Lukewarm.
Roll down your window. Ask this guy next to us if he's heard that.
Excuse me, sir. Have you got any Grey Poupon? God, what else could you do? The trash compactor for all the, I don't know.
The trash compactor slide?
Just slide right. into, got to go head first into the trash compactor and then escape before it squishes you.
Something like that,
I like it. So anyway, they also released all the photos of the uniforms and costumes that the crew that work there are going to be
so
wearing.
Awesome.
And they all look like they're dressed all for fancy. Star Wars.
Nice.
And I've never
wanted
to... I
can't wait to see all like the red and the yellow and the blue, you know, jerseys. And they've got the little like communicator emblem on their shirt. And
stop it.
Would you stop?
Stop it.
That's a dick move right there.
No, that's a Universal. Where would that be? Where would a Star Trek? Who owns Star Trek?
Paramount.
Universal used to have it.
So,
Paramount.
Yeah, it's Paramount, but I remember they had a Star Trek show at Universal a while ago.
Did they?
Yeah. Or it was one of those state shows where volunteers go up and they do a scene. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. The Enterprise would shake up and you'd have to rock back and forth.
I know they had at Vegas, since at the Hilton, they had the Star Trek experience. I actually went and checked that out once.
I did, too.
Cool. It was nice.
So
I enjoyed it.
Friends of mine got married, and they thought that would be a good thing to do with the large group of us, was go check out the Star Trek experience. I was like, okay, cool. And where we were all staying, we're like, we'll just walk over. It's like, you know, it's right over there. But in Vegas, right over there is like 4 miles.
Yeah.
Like, hotel blocks are gigantic. So by the time we get over there, it's Vegas. So we're all like sweaty and exhausted.
Yeah.
And for whatever fucking reason, we sit down and have a drink, and they're like, hey, just so you know, we're closing up in like 15 minutes. We're like, it's 9 p.m. They're like, yeah, we close early on whatever week, Mondays or whatever. And we're like, what the fuck? So we all like downed our drink super fast and did like a run through the exhibit just so we could see the props and crap.
Oh, wow.
I was like, well.
So you didn't go on the bridge and the ride or anything
like that? Nope. At least we, you know, we're all sweaty and rushed.
Wow. Now, it was actually pretty cool because you'd get in a lift and it would take you up to the bridge and then you guys would be attacked by Klingons or Romulans or some shit. I don't know. And they'd invade and murder people and all that. It was
some pointy
cool.
head fuckers.
Yeah, one of those guys.
You know, wrinkled down their forehead.
So, when you were all sweaty, did your shirt cling on you?
Oh, we're all punny today.
I don't think they listen, so I'm going to tell this story. So they made up, you know, wedding party T-shirts for all their friends.
Oh, they're those people.
So they had, and it was like white shirts with pink lettering, oh, I think, that said like best man or groomsman or, you know, bridesmaid and maid of honor. Well, I wasn't in the wedding party, so it just said best friend. So I'm walking around with a white T-shirt with pink lettering on it that just says best friend. And
hey.
If I was with the group of matching t-shirts, totally made sense.
Right.
But if for any reason our party got separated, like I'm going to go to the restroom or something, I'm walking around by myself, I just look like this weirdo in an ill-fitting t-shirt that says best friend in pink letter. I'm like, well, I'm definitely not picking anybody up while I'm in Vegas this weekend.
Oh, you're your own.
But I also
friend.
Stayed in a shitty motel that I think had plastic on the mattress underneath the sheet. And then my transmission died on the drive home. So I got a
Vegas.
98 mile tow home. Like I was, so AAA gives you 100 free miles if you have the AAA Plus.
Yeah.
Thank God. I didn't know where I was. I was somewhere outside of like Bakersfield or something. And that's where it crapped out on me. Like it was like smoking. I drove at like 45 miles an hour from Vegas to Bakersfield before my transmission finally went, fuck it. I'm out. Mic drop. I was just within, otherwise I would have had to have gotten like a free 3 mile tow or like whatever the minimum was.
Right.
And then waited till like the next day to get the next, it would have been a mess because I couldn't afford a tow home like that. But yeah. That was the death of that car.
So as we're sitting here in this horrible traffic, it's dawning on me that these are these Super Bloom motherfuckers, isn't it?
No.
Super Bloom?
Super Bloom, because we're in the middle of Super Bloom.
I think that also just means it's everywhere is doing this right now. You look on a hillside anywhere in California right now, it's yellow because of the flowers that are
blooming. I'm looking right there. There's your flowers. Turn around. Go home, bastards. This is dumb.
Dave, why are you naysaying Super Bloom?
Because the one they're talking about all over the news is the one in Elsinore, the orange poppies. These aren't poppies.
Oh.
Okay.
But they are blooming.
They're blooming. Look at the flowers and go. His Walking Dead. Just stare at the flowers.
There will be a lot of bees.
So, I think it was last year or the year before, coming down the 15. Traffic is like this. It's bumper to bumper, like on a Saturday, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, what the hell is going on? As we get to it, there's a hillside that's fully in bloom, and there's 100 children in their Sunday best. And their parents are taking their Easter photos. And there's just cars parked all up along the side. So it's everyone on the freeway stopping to see what this commotion is of all these families that are traipsing all over this hill to take their... All of them had the unique idea of taking their kids' Easter photo on this hillside.
This is why I have no children.
And I'm just like, that's just the 100 people who are here right now.
Yeah.
Good.
You know? Oh, he'd give his up in a heartbeat, right?
Sure, why not? What do you got to trade?
I got this mitten box G.I. Joe.
I was just thinking of a cool crossover. Would be the Millennium Falcon glider.
How would you do that?
Took me a second there. What
Wrap
the
your
fuck
head around it.
Oh, okay, I get it. I like it.
Dave, get me a custom of that somehow.
Okay, I got it.
The glider shape, right? But it's got like the six engines and right.
I'm already on it.
And Chewbacca's flying it.
Already on it.
There you go. That's what he does when he sits in the back.
Just add it to the queue of the other custom stuff I've asked you to make.
No, I got yours coming soon.
Coming soon.
What are you working on?
So,
well, the show figures just have me so wrapped up.
I know. Shush, your GPS
Why
back there.
Is my GPS
so on? About 6 months before the final JoeCon, I asked Dave, "Hey, will you make me a custom Listen and Fun tripwire?" And I gave him a modern tripwire to paint up for me. So that'll be my motivation while I'm at the gym and working on my costume. And he's like, yeah.
You gave it to me before?
Yeah. Dude.
Did you?
I gave it to you.
Oh, man. I thought it was
JoeCon was in June, and I gave it to you in, like, February. So it's been, like, over a year.
I thought it was after for some reason. Oh,
no.
Well.
I think I gave you something else afterwards.
Yeah. Also? Head to make Robert.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was.
Somebody make Robert a
see that one I'd
nice.
That one was after JoeCon. The Joe men have been keeping him working like a Chinese slave house.
I know.
You know, that's why we have Chinese slave houses to crank out figures, Dave.
Hero.
sorry. Asian slave house. So yeah, he's been cranking out, you know, every 6 months he's got a new batch of custom figures to paint. So
I do not envy that job.
I'm not surprised that, you know, my, hey, will you do this for free? I'll be your best friend forever. Or I'll take you to lunch or something. has totally fallen by the wayside. So that's all. And that's always my rule, too. It's like if I'm not paying you to do it, fucking take as long as you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have, three things for you. The tripwire, the cassette, and then the slaughter.
I totally forgot about the Slaughter, too.
No, you could have gotten away with it.
Probably.
What was the Slaughter?
Was it the Marauders Slaughter?
You wanted a regular modern Slaughter.
Oh, a Triple T.
A Triple T Slaughter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I could do either one. I have them still. I haven't painted them details yet. So whatever you want.
I think.
Is that the Slaughter head I gave you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and I got a Roadblock body. And
nice.
I'm terrible with face painting and getting the details done, and I was like, that's out of my skill set. Do a Slaughter's one.
I'll see if I have parts, because I know I have extra Slaughter heads. I'll see if I can get a couple going.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, because I've, except for the final 12 two figures, Joe fans know what that means. I have all the Slaughter's modern figures.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, it'd be nice to have a Slaughter to go with that. That'd be cool.
Did we tell everybody about the trip we made over to the estate sale? Did we talk about it on mic?
I don't think so. That's not really topical. We can talk about
that. We can talk about that. That was fun.
Scott subscribes to this local estate sale company, and they give him an email when they're doing something local, and they give us some preview photos. And the first one was a store, and it was closer to me, and Scott couldn't go, so I went. And I went, and the prices were ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just the dumbest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I was like, well, that was a waste of my time. And even the other people who were there were like professional, like they're missing their Storage Wars taping so that they could be here. Like those people were like, yeah, this is like ridiculous. We're leaving. So Scott gets another one, and he's like, the photos of it are like, it looks like a hoarder's house full of just boxed toys.
Yeah.
A lot of Lord of the Rings, Star Trek, Barbies out the wazoo.
And I specifically zone in on a 12-inch vintage Luke Skywalker in the box. And I'm like, okay, I want to try and get that. So we make this plan to show up at this place at, what was it, like 7:30 in the morning? Because it opened at 8.
Yeah.
And we get there. I get there a little bit earlier than that. And I am like 20th in line. I'm like, son of a bitch. There is no way I'm going to be able to get that Luke Skywalker. And I'm looking over, and I see it in the window. And I'm like, God damn it, it's right there. I just need to get right there to get the damn thing. So
some of the people, we weren't quite that far back, but still.
It felt like it.
There, even if we were like 10th in line.
So, what's the rules? You have to be in line, and you can go buy whatever you want at their prices, or... You have to wait in line to bid on something.
No, you just wait in line to get into the house.
To get into this particular one.
And then it's a grab whatever you can as fast as you can.
And then it's a melee. So, so you just luck out and kind of like, I'm going to go into this room and hopefully it's a good one.
Oh.
That's why they also give you pictures ahead of time. So you can kind of recognize a room when you walk in and be like, okay, I can avoid the kitchen because the photos I saw were all in a bedroom. So I'm going to head towards a bedroom, that kind of thing. And a couple of the guys in line in front of us were known... sellers at
Frankensons
and some of the other toy shows and stuff I've seen around. I'm like, fuck, they're here to buy and flip.
Should have been here at 5 in the morning, that kind of thing.
So
we ended up with the Luke.
Ends up at 8. Well, we'll get there. So it ends up 8 o'clock. We get in, and Scott beelines to the Star Trek stuff that he was looking at, and the flippers got it first.
Wars stuff. The Luke Skywalker, it was gone, but I followed that guy, and I'm like, shit. If I would have, because he then went from that room into the next room over, and he ended up getting a Luke's land speeder, still mint and sealed box. So if I would have just gone into the other room, I could have gotten that while he was getting the other thing. At least I would have had something.
Yeah. Right.
So after that, it was just kind of like, well, shit, let's just walk through and see what we can see.
So Scott's in his room, and he's digging through Star Trek figures and this and that. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just go in the kitchen. I'm not here for anything. I'm looking for G.I. Joes. And through the preview picks, they had a bunch of 12-inch stuff, but really nothing 4-inch, vintage or modern. So I was like, I'm not really here for anything other than... to hang out.
Yeah.
And I'm in the kitchen, and there's this just a file box, a little cardboard file box, and it's full of like magazines and sewing supplies. And I noticed a little Ziploc baggie had some Star Wars figures in it. And I was like, oh, they're vintage, and they have their capes on them. I'm like, it was like Obi-Wan and a Princess Leia
and I'm like, Vader.
And I know that those capes, untorn and and not discolored, are usually worth something. So I just grabbed the whole baggie, and I just kept digging through the box, and oh, look, there's a second one. So I grabbed these two baggies of vintage loose figures that are really of no importance to me.
And I'm frustrated as hell at this point because I'm finding some Star Trek stuff that's kind of cool, and I found a little Ziploc baggie that had a Boba Fett and a TIE fighter pilot, and I could see a vintage Boba Fett in there too. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'll just toss that in. Kevin comes walking up. He goes, "Do you need these?" And he's got the two baggies full of Star Wars. And I'm like, not really, but just toss them in the bag. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So he throws them in the bag, and then we continue on.
So the other stuff we got, not super. Scott got a bunch of some Star Trek stuff, and I got like. They were those G.I. Joe. They were, what would you call them? There was like an Army, an Air Force, a Marine, and a Coast Guard.
The little 3¾-inch boxes that were like 93, 94. It was the Action Marine, Sailor. Uh-huh. Those.
Yeah. So I got a full set of four of those. That was pretty much it. We go cut two. We go to checkout, and the guy checking us out is, you know. One sort of calling out prices on stuff, while another one sort of, you know, keeping a tally and ringing them up. And the guy, for me, the action G.I. Joes, they're like 10 each. And I'm like, I'm not paying 10 each for these. So I just picked two that I wanted. And the guy checking me out, he's like, I'll do them all for, you know. For
$5 each.
Basically, I'll do, all four of them for $20. I was like, then I will take them all.
Yeah.
I was like, cool, that was awesome.
So he bunches all of our stuff up together, and he just goes by baggie. And it's like he counts the figures that are in the baggies, and he's like, $1 each.
Wow.
So Scott's baggies of vintage Star Wars, he's like, well, there's five in that one, so $5 for that baggie and $5 for that baggie. And
he put everything together. He gave us a total and then took a little bit off of it.
Yeah, it came up to like $86. He's like, just flat $80. We're like, boom, here you go, right? Now, Scott and I go to breakfast to go look at our booty, right?
Yep.
Our bounty.
Yes.
And our booties. It was a gay breakfast.
It was very gay.
And mine, who cares? So Scott lays out the vintage Star Wars stuff.
Dawns on me that it's the original 12 action figures. So it is straight out of, and they're all in perfect shape, except the Luke is a little yellowed.
These were the mail-ins.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm looking at him, and I'm like, oh, well, that sucks. The lightsaber on Luke is broken. The tip is missing. Mm. So I'm like, well, shit. But I'm continued digging through it, and the Boba Fett is in a sealed baggie. It's a sealed Kenner mail-away baggie Boba Fett. So, number one, that's like a minimum, like $100 figure.
Jeez,
right there.
So,
didn't we eBay prices on that? What did that come up to when we start looking at prices on
some
that?
Some of them were like $200. Some of them were $100. It kind of varied in there.
So, that's worth more than everything we got combined.
Right. So I'm very happy. Just getting that Boba Fett made my day. Well, my day was about to get a lot better.
Yeah.
Because turns out Luke Skywalker's lightsaber wasn't broken. It was the double telescoping lightsaber that pulls out, which immediately makes that figure worth about $800-$900. So went right into the fucking collection.
Yep.
And I happened to pick up a Star Trek figure, a Captain Picard figure, that I had always wanted. And it was...
You knew it existed.
I knew it existed. I'd never seen it. Mm-hmm. But it was there, and it had a $5 price tag on it. They sold it to me for $5, right? That son of a bitch goes for about $600.
Jeez, oh.
So I am ecstatic at that point.
So I've found myself a new career, and it's Scott's toy manager, what did I call myself? Basically, I take 10% commission of the toys that I find and buy for him, and then he resells and keeps the profit on it. Because most of my toy hunting these days, I'm not looking for a whole lot, but I travel a lot, so I see a lot of toy stores. So I'm always like, Scott, what's on your want list? So like just yesterday, I bought something for Scott.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, if there's ever come across anything, I'm now his toy manager.
His liaison.
Yeah. Exactly. So that was our adventure at the
toy realtor. What would that be exactly?
I don't know. Broker.
There you go. Okay, I'm your toy broker.
There we go. Where are we?
So it doesn't matter to who's listening, but there's so many accidents on the freeway. We are taking a long detour that will save us about 20 minutes.
Wow.
Actually, we're in housing in suburbia right now, but we're going to
Wildomar.
Wildomar. So. Hmm.
So, yeah, that was a very exciting. That's one of those stories you hear from other people, like, oh, I can't believe I got. Yeah. Somebody just posted on eBay there, on Facebook, like, check out my, like, $20 yard sale find. And it was, like, the first 10 figures of He-Man with all, like, their armor and stuff.
Right.
And they're all in great shape, $20 for the whole lot.
I've never been that lucky. Right. Never.
Well, it's funny because the guy who beat me to that 12-inch Luke Skywalker, I win. Because that 12-inch Luke Skywalker, maybe $150-$200.
Uh-huh. Joke's on you, dreadlocks.
Sucker.
There you go.
You know who you are. Stuff's always junky and overpriced. You know, friend of mine. So fool, you'd be crazy. I had in my world of collecting, had a similar win, which made me super happy. Back in June of 2018, I found just a Facebook listing. It was a Rubbermaid. It was just a big storage bin with a bunch of G.I. Joe shit sticking out of it. Just junked. It was $50. So I messaged the lady and was like, hey, can I get a couple more pictures to see what's in there? She kind of spreads it out a little bit more, and I'm like, I think I can work with that for parts, and there's a couple of things I might be able to work with. So, and because I was the first one to messenger, like, that listing had been live for maybe like 4 minutes. Right place, right time to check my phone. That was it. And because she had people like, oh, they're offering me more, and they'll say they'll come get it immediately, because I couldn't pick it up till the next day.
Yeah.
She's like, but you were first. Like, the woman had incredible morals. And I was really polite with her, and you know, she, because of that, she wanted to keep, you know, working with me and give me first dibs. And so I get the thing home, and it's a ton of, I mean, it had to have been $200-$300 worth of almost complete Joe vehicles that I needed for my collection.
Nice.
And then the little bits and pieces that were in there, I sold off and probably made like $60 off of. So basically free vehicles. So about in January, she messages me again, says, hey, these were her husband's toys, by the way, that her kids outgrew playing with. And I'm like, how old are your kids? She's like, well, our oldest is 8. I'm like, you're raising your kids wrong. If they're 8, they've outgrown G.I. Joe. So she messages me again, said, hey, we found another box of his toys, and there were some 12-inch G.I. Joes in it. Remember the Hall of Heroes? Mm-hmm. Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And so she thought of me. She's like, hey, there's more G.I. Joes if you want it. And it was a much smaller box than the first one, so it's like, how about $30 since it's a smaller amount? She's like, yeah, sure, that's fine. So I pick it up, and there is a mask collection in there of like an almost complete Rhino and
the bulldog with the front saw.
Yeah. The bulldog. There was that black Corvette. There was like all kinds of like this, like, so I, which I've never bought any mask toys ever. And now I have this like Insta collection that needed very few parts. Almost nothing was broken. And I was just like, fine, $30. That's fantastic. And there was, some Sky Commandos, Megaforce, which is a toy line I never heard of. A lot of Kenner stuff. This guy was real Kenner loyal. Like, that was his brand.
Apparently. Very. You were showing me some of that stuff, and I had never seen some of those things. It's just it's crazy. Sky Commander's that weird thing with the zip line to it.
You really like neat. Attach it to the back of a chair, and then
suction cups,
and then over to your table, and they would go back and forth on these little zip lines and stuff. Yeah. What was the other one? There was Expanders, which is sort of like military vehicles that transform, sort of. Like, they were real hybrids of what Hasbro was doing.
Real micro machine-y, though, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was my, like, happy find that I wasn't expecting that just kind of came out of nowhere.
I just wanted to keep sending you messages, because every time she sends you a message, you end up with something really cool.
I have really tried hard. She's a really nice lady, so, I mean, it is genuine that I've been nice back to her.
Right.
But I'm also really trying hard to stay on her good side and, you know, like, hey, think of me. I'll text her photos of, like, everything spread out as I'm putting things back together, kind of playing with it and stuff, like, really enjoying it. So I went, because it is for me. I'm the bits and pieces that are left over, I will resell to kind of recoup that money. But the bulk of it, I'm buying for me. So it's a really good deal for me.
And she keeps getting these messages. That fucking creepy guy with the toys keeps sending me messages.
It's more of like,
why was I nice to him?
You know, after I'm definitely not harassing her. Like, she gets like maybe one follow up message of like, thank you very much. I'm really enjoying it. Thanks for thinking of me.
That's cool.
You know, let me know the next time the next box of toys pops up. Her 4-year-old had put a Bumblebee transformer in the box that wasn't supposed to. because I guess since it's a current movie, that's what her kids are playing with.
Nice.
And so when I sent her the photo of like, hey, look, I'm playing with these toys. They're great. She's like, oh, the Bumblebee. She's like, can I send you a couple bucks to mail that back to me? Because she lives like an hour away. And I was like, nah, don't worry about it. You've been kind to me. I'll just pop it in the mail. So I had a couple other small Transformers that I had in my sale bin that have never sold. So I just put them all in the box for her kids and a little handwritten note, like grease the wheels a little extra. Just nice. Like, you know, thanks for thinking of me. Here's a couple of toys, you know, for your kids. Hope they enjoy them. And so nice. Then she wrote me back and was like, you know, thanks. That was really nice. And so I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, I'm that third box is coming. Come on. Come on.
Big money. What's going to be in it? Money.
Gonna be a bunch of He-Man I don't want.
Strawberry Shortcakes. The guy also had a feminine side.
All right, it'd be like Strawberry Shortcakes and My Little Ponies. I'm like, God damn it.
Rainbow Bright. So that's pretty awesome. How about you, Dave? Anything new?
No.
All right, thanks. So,
no, I just got the Defiant. That's about it.
Nice. Yeah, tell me how that popped, how that came about.
It just popped up on the Facebook, messaged the guy, and worked it out.
Is that IE Toy Store?
Yeah.
I just went over there the other day. He's got some cool stuff in there.
He has some cool stuff in there. A lot of modern stuff. Not too much vintage.
I picked up a mask.
Good stuff.
Switchblade?
Switchblade. You got the Switchblade.
The blue one? The blue. I'm still learning all the names of the mask figures.
Yeah.
How complete is it? What kind of shape is it in?
It's in very good shape. No stickers, which a lot of people say that's a good thing.
They're like a paper sticker. It's not like the regular
not the plasticky. Plastic see-through.
Yeah.
This one's in really good shape. It's missing a few pieces. Two pieces that are kind of hard to find and probably expensive, but eventually I'll find them. But everything works. It's great. It's nice. I love it.
Did I see, is it missing the fins or just were the fins?
No,
not
the fins
attached?
Were in the cargo.
Awesome. I thought it was missing the fins. I'm like, oh, ouch. That's going to be pricey.
It's missing the front passenger side turret.
Okay.
And that's a little bit pricey. And then it's missing the airlock rotating door.
Okay.
On the upper level. And then it's missing the cryo door, the clear door.
Okay, okay.
And that's it. That's all it's missing.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
It's not too bad, man.
I'm pretty stoked about it.
Awesome. Did it have the drivers?
No, no figures.
But you don't need those because you've got the modern versions.
I do modern, yeah.
Yeah.
Except I've been working up my vintage collection.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Love it.
What have you added lately?
I just got an officer.
Straight arm swivel.
Swivel. Nice. I'm not into the straight arms. The only swivels I need now are Short Fuse, Hawk, and Grand Slam, and then I'm complete.
Nice.
Okay.
So I'll be looking for those.
I'll keep an eye out for you.
Yeah,
same here.
Just a few weapons here and there, what I need. And
are you going year by year, or are you just kind of shotgunning for what you're interested
in? Shotgunning, yeah, shotgunning. I just got Snowjob.
That is one of my all-time favorite figures.
I love him.
Love that
Torso
figure.
Is yellow. So he's sitting in peroxide right now at home.
Cool.
Just the torso. So I'm going to see if that works. If not, I'm just going to look for another kind of beater snow job with a nice white chest.
Nice.
And switch out the parts because the rest of it's pretty good.
That should be too hard to find.
Yeah.
I see a lot of snow jobs in junk boxes.
Yeah.
Drew probably has one.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Just getting vintage figures.
How many vintage figures do you have?
I haven't even counted, but
I was like, did you previously collect them and hang on to them?
I've had quite a few. They just never have been out. So I set up a spot where I got some clear stands, like the ones that Danny has, those circle clear stands.
Nice. Are those sized okay?
Those are awesome.
I got to send me a link to that, would you? Because he gave me the little paper that came off the baggie of the ones, and I couldn't find it anywhere online.
Yeah, I'll link you with
so
the guy.
So if you've just recently bought them, give me a hookup, because I need a bunch. Because the next step in my Joe room is adding about 9 linear feet of shelving.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be, you know, tiered.
The tiered shelving.
And I'm going to get all my vintage on display, because currently they're all in a box.
Okay.
They're all individually, like, baggied. And, you know, preserved and cataloged. My Excel list is getting really, really long. I think I'm up to like 325.
I feel like
for vintage.
Such a good influence.
You've helped me out a lot, actually. You found a bunch. In years past, we'll go to like a toy show, And Scott's got my list. Now I've got it down where I actually have a want list that's easy to figure out. But, like, he'd have my list of everything I have, and I'd just start going through a bin, naming off figures. He's like, you got it, you need it, you got it, you need it, got it.
Yep.
And so then I'd go with this big pile of need it and figure out, all right, what's my budget and what can I afford? And
I really, really enjoy going through figures and helping other people out because mm-hmm. I am not looking for any Joes. So if I can help you out, you let me know, okay?
Yeah, I got a list going.
Awesome.
A lot of like a Flint backpack, and
okay.
I have a really nice Footloose, but just the Footloose and the card. I don't have any weapons or helmets.
I might have a helmet for you. Yeah. I got a whole when they won't be out again until the Joe Show in May.
Mm-hmm.
But I have bags full of just random loose parts and stuff. Yeah. And I believe I have a Footloose helmet in there for sure.
Yeah, let me know.
So, and whatever. And since you're doing so many customs for me, apparently, that I've forgotten about, just take whatever you need. I don't care.
Just take it all.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
I have a few parts that I don't even know where they go to. You know, I went through these parts and put them where I know they go. And then I recently went through it again. I was like, oh, geez, this goes to this figure that I already had
set
up. Have
you used the Hoobit on Yojo?
I haven't.
It's such a good resource. That's how I ID'd almost everything that I had because I don't know what shit is. Like, who's this silver Barracuda go to?
Right.
That's an easy one. But yeah. you get what I mean.
Yeah, I was just flipping through the Balomo book trying to figure, but that's too time-consuming.
No, do Hoobit because it's all by color,
mm-hmm.
and then it's super fast to ID because it's like, is it a missile? And then what color missile? And then boom, you're there. You've only got like 10 choices.
A lot of the stuff I have are from accessory packs.
Okay.
The worst.
So confusing.
Yeah.
You know, I have
throw them away.
I have a roadblock. I just got another roadblock because he was cheap because he came with the tripod stand. I get the tripod stand because that's what I needed, and I put it with the roadblock with the gun. Well, the colors are mismatched. I'm like, which one goes with what? So I'm like, man, I have a light-colored roadblock gun with a darker-colored tripod, and I don't know which version is where they're from or which one
that,
goes actually
that gun
goes
and
with
tripod
it.
Was used a lot, too.
Yeah.
As well as, I think, was it in the accessory packs, too?
It might. Yeah, it very well could have. And then I got a tripwire backpack that, of course, somebody posted as, you know, 83 original or 84 whatever tripwire came out, and they end up sending me the Tiger Force tripwire backpack. I don't need that one. That one's darker.
Did you send it back?
No.
Call him an asshole.
I got it for super cheap. I could probably double my money if I wanted to.
Instead of all the mines.
Yeah. So I'm gonna try to keep away from eBay of getting weapons because that's almost addicting.
Yes.
Going on eBay looking at weapons, and you don't know what you're getting because it's not in
hand. Well, and with that, too, you need to, like, find somebody who does combined shipping and buy a bunch of stuff from the same person.
And that's what I do. I go on the person, look at their other stuff, and
there's a couple of good sellers that have stuff. But for the most part, my luck has been at in-person at Joe shows where you get a good vendor who knows their stock.
Yep.
And then I just go with my list and say, I'm looking for this Uzi and this backpack. And then they just pull it out of the bins because I don't know what stuff looks like.
Yeah. Right.
And they do. So I just tell them what I need and they make me a pile. I did that with three different people at JoeCon and came home with like a pound of accessories to disseminate to my figures.
So much fun putting all that shit together.
It is a lot of fun. Love it. Yep. That's why I like the boxes of just this, you know, Rubbermaid tub of junk from this lady. I had the best time sorting and putting things together and figuring out what went to what. It's like a toy jigsaw puzzle.
And we've got this system where he'll say, what is this? And I'll say, what's the date on the back? And we'll just go back and forth. Mm-hmm. It's like that lot that I bought from the lady at the Walmart parking lot. Where it was just like,
shady.
What the fuck is this figure? And it was, you know, what's the date on the back of the leg? And next thing you know, you've got...
You never told me you met her at a Walmart parking lot.
Yeah, it was a Walmart parking lot. Yeah, Walmart parking lot in San Bernardino, man. I'm handing her $200 and she's giving me like $2,000 worth of action figures.
And a hand job.
It was good time. No hand jobs. No hand jobs
included.
What
the fuck are all these people doing
out here? Super bloom, damn it.
In the goddamn woods.
Well, look at the poppies and stuff. They're all,
there's no flowers blooming out here.
What do you call that?
That's grass.
There's
that's
a parking
flowers.
Lot in the middle
that's
of
That's one flower in the middle of a field, Scott.
They're all
that's
gathered
the worst
around.
Easter card I've ever seen.
They're at the mini bloom.
Literally, it's one little bunch of flowers. That is a mini bloom.
It is absolutely beautiful out here, though.
Something's going on. Is it a hip? It's got to be like a
hiking trails or something.
Hipster wedding.
It's a hipster wedding.
No, in the middle of a field.
I bet you right on the other side of that hill right there is a big bunch of poppies, and they're all going out there to get their opium.
It's an earth child wedding.
See, there you go. There's a few right there.
Oh, Jesus. Those are weeds.
Love it.
Hey, so
yeah.
Fox Disney merger finally inked in?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Disney owns everything.
They own this podcast. We're signing the paperwork next week.
Oh, that'd be nice. Then we'd actually get some money.
No. They're just taking it.
What properties did Disney get then?
What was that?
What properties did Disney actually get?
That would be the rest of Marvel. So you've got the X-Men, the Fantastic Four.
Well, Sony still has their stuff, right?
Sony still has the rights to Spider-Man.
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe Sony's got Spider-Man, and that's it.
I think Universal still has Hulk, don't they?
They still have what?
Hulk.
Maybe.
I think they're just both being lent out.
I think you're right. They now own The Simpsons.
Wow.
Right? Yeah.
Simpsons has not been kind to Disney over the years either.
No.
That's hilarious. I wonder if those episodes will ever see the light of day.
I'm sure they're re-airing. It's all about money. I'm sure they will.
They also own like the Alien franchise now. Anything 20th Century Fox, they own the rights to all of Star Wars now. Not just the Disney-owned Star Wars, but they now have the prequels and the original trilogy. So, yeah, there's a
no, but things people want to see, what have they got?
Can they redo the prequels?
Oh, my God.
Where the fuck are we going?
I don't know, but this is the steepest damn hill I've ever driven down.
I'm looking out and I'm seeing avocado fields.
I just don't want to die.
Well, that's where Eben lives. He has an avocado field. No, this is like an 85% grade. This is ridiculously dangerous.
On a 2-lane road, and here we are holding microphones as we drive.
And you're only going 30 miles an hour. Jesus.
Yeah, and that's with my foot heavily slammed on the brake, too.
This is crazy. It's all hilly. It's beautiful.
It's fun. That rock looks provocative.
Let's get a closer look. Sexy rock.
There is something sticking in that rock.
It's a super bloom. I'm just going to call this episode Super Bloom.
Super Bloom. I like it. Oh, my God.
Super. Meanwhile, Super Bloom headquarters.
Meanwhile.
Yeah. So, the Super Bloom. How are we going to take over the world with it?
Not if I have anything to say about it.
No, it's you, Flonies.
And I see you've brought your friend Afrin with you.
And Claritin.
And Mucinex.
Look, flowers.
We're here to stop your pollinous ways.
No. You'll never get me.
Turned into cartoon radio hour.
You'll never take me alive, Flonies.
Squirt.
melting.
The end.
So stupid. Well, all right. We are almost at an hour, so I think this is a good place to stop. And now that we've reached banjo country, we're going to have to defend ourselves momentarily. So you can find us at any time. Go to nerdswithattitudepodcast.com, where you have links to all of our social media, which is Facebook, Twitter, which is stupid, Instagram, which is getting stupider by the day.
Snapchat.
Not on it.
Tinder.
Grindr. And whatever the new Disney one is. Disney owns all apps now, too.
That's it. You can also find us on the Raw Live pod.com on the Raw Live Unedited Network with other shows like Who Will Survive? He calls it Will Survive.
Do they ever get to the point?
I don't know, but he calls it a horror podcast. But every time he says it, Marco says it sounds horror. Like he says horror.
Yeah.
So it's the horror podcast.
I listen to a horror podcast.
Sarlacc Digest, Hoth Topic, Toy Migos. No, it's not the Toy Migos. It's the... never mind. Anyway, rawlivepod.com.
The RLU Network. Thank you for listening if that's where you're hearing us. You can also find us if you feel like financially supporting the podcast.
Send us
we would
money.
Greatly appreciate it. It will pay for. You can actually buy a custom painted figure from our very
own Dave.
You'll
get it from 2 years from now.
No, if you're paying for it goes to the top of the list.
You will get it first.
That's why my stuff is taking so long because I'm not paying for it. That's it.
You're paying for it with your friendship, Kevin.
Yeah, I am. Patreon.com/nerdswithattitude. For as little as a dollar, you can get bonus content. Well, maybe we'll try and get a photo of Scott on the side of a hill with the super bloom for this episode.
Do this.
And, yeah, for a couple of bucks, you can pick things for us to talk about. You can get exclusive content and all kinds of little hijinks. But mainly, you're helping support the podcast so we can keep putting out cool content. So thank you for listening very, very much. Don't forget to subscribe and like and follow and do all that fun stuff. That will also keep us in front of other people to listen to. And that's about it. So from the back seat,
it's been Dave Watkins.
Dave Watkins? Wow, okay. And Scott.
And Kevin Flonase.
I got nothing. Yeah, it's the evil Scott.
I don't know. Mucus Scott.
Mucus Scott.
I don't know.
Which with this disease?
Send in
I
the Loogie Man.
The Loogie Man. All right, keep it nerdy, everybody.
Fix and Flicks is part of the Raw Live and Unedited Podcasting Network, which means you can listen to the podcast on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, or the listening platform of your choice. Or you can go directly to rawlifepod.com. Yay!
In a world with far too many Star Wars podcasts comes one more Star Wars podcast. Yahoo! The Sarlacc Digest, a bi-weekly show covering Star Wars news, toys, book reviews, fan theories, and new canon discussion.
All wings report in.
Join the Sarlacc Digest hosts as they bring you knowledge and lore. The Sarlacc Digest, bringing you line talk and digesting Star Wars topics over 1,000 years. Find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we're proud members of the RLU, Raw, Live, and Unedited Podcasting Network.